This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Baggage, say baggage. I've had two installments of this, I think, but you didn't get the second one because last week the Lord moved in a different way. Living free and traveling light. I want to do a little bit of review, but I also want to move into something that you haven't heard. It's baggage part two, okay? It's time to get rid of our baggage. It's time to be free. What is baggage? It's emotional baggage. It's physical baggage. It's spiritual baggage. Baggage that keeps you from being all that you can be in the kingdom of heaven. It is that which you carry around that hinders you from the fullness, say fullness, of God's plan and destiny and joy for your life. I don't care whether you're 16 or 66. God, or older, God has a plan for you. And that plan's not over until you take your last breath. If you believe that, say yes. Okay, so we want to get rid of the baggage. I don't want to go through life carrying all that excess baggage. And we're determined to know God better because that is the key to getting rid of your baggage. So I want to begin by saying, if you want to get rid of your baggage, if you want to be free of that baggage, I want to begin by reading something that you need to understand out of the scripture in Galatians. But the first thing you need to do if you want to do that is to see God as your Father. To see God as your Father. Chapter 4, verse 6 of Galatians. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Say, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. He made you an heir. You don't have to earn it. You already got it. I'm a made man. Hallelujah. I'm not in the mafia. I'm in God's mafia. Hallelujah. He made me. I don't think you understand it. You don't have to earn it. You inherit it. I'm a son. Thank God I don't have to earn it. Jesus paid the price. If you believe it, say amen. So I cry out, Daddy, God. Papa, God, Father, Dad, Daddy. The intimacy is on the third word. I am intimate when I call Daddy. When I was a little boy, I would say, Dad, can you come say my prayers with me? Yes, son. You know, Dad, 10 minutes later, Dad, you know, I want a drink of water. Dad, I want a drink of water. Dad, can you come open my window? Son, it's time to go to sleep. Go to sleep, son. Dad, go to sleep, son. It's time to go to sleep. Dad, go to sleep. But when I would wake up in the middle of the night, say, Daddy! He was instantly by my bedside. There's a difference between intimacy and just acquaintance. And I think that illustrates it accurately enough. I think that you men particularly, and you ladies that didn't have a father that loved you appropriately, mistreated you perhaps, you need to learn to approach the Father, not in terms of the father that you had here on the earth or didn't have here on the earth. You need to approach him by being in his presence and letting him teach you how much he loves you. Men, I want you to say Papa. Papa. Say Daddy. Daddy. Now some of you can't say that. For reasons. Women, say Papa, say Daddy. You need to approach the Father in heaven not as a big God with a hammer ready to smash you when you make a mistake. You need to know that he loves you and that he's the reason you've been forgiven. He's the reason that you're still here. He's the reason that the enemy doesn't steal, kill, or destroy. Somebody say amen. That's my heavenly Father. That's my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your view of God will determine your relationship with him. Your view of God will determine your relationship with him. Number two, how do I get rid of this baggage? I approach God through relationship, not rules. Not rules. Relationship is superior to rules. How am I going to become godly? How am I going to come to know God? You know, Paul said this. He said in Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7, there are people that are coming in teaching They're Judaizers, and they don't believe the Messiah has come, and they think you still have to live according to the law, which means not only the Ten Commandments, but it also means circumcision. It means that you have to be circumcised. It means that you have to not eat certain things on certain days in order to be good enough to be in God's presence, in order to be in a hereafter if you believed in one. And Paul is saying, hey, wait a minute. This is the old gospel. This is now the new gospel. There's no longer two gospels. There's one gospel. And he says in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the, everybody say, grace, unmerited favor of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, you don't have to be circumcised. Paul's exasperated because they're buying into a lie. He says that there's only one way to God. And one way back to God, incidentally. And that is through God's love. God's love. God's heart. God's heart. And in relationship with his children. That is what you were created to be. In relationship with this Father God that you and I have barely begun to know. Two gospels, two trees. We talked about the two trees, I believe, in the first week. Genesis speaks about, and there were two trees in the garden, okay? There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were hundreds and thousands of trees in the garden, but there were two trees that were had particular emphasis. And the Lord said, you can eat of any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now notice he didn't say you couldn't eat of the tree of life, but there was a tree that if they ate of that tree, God had to get them out of the garden, because if they ate of the tree of life after eating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would have stayed, and you and I would have stayed in this state forevermore. But God loved us so much that he got them out of the garden before they could eat of the tree of life, sealing their doom and their death forevermore. Thank God that there was a loving God even when we made a mistake. When Adam and Eve made the ultimate mistake, God sent his son so he could redeem us back. So God's love is always in play. His mercy is always in play. Throughout the Old Testament, you know what? God, they say, well, God did this and God did that. You know what? God was teaching them. If you're going to live by the letter of the law, you're going to die by the letter of the law. You need to point to my son. You need to make sacrifices that points to a sacrifice and a sacrificial lamb that's going to wash away sins once and forevermore, to where there's no longer sin separating you from me. Say one gospel. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we see what Eve said. Eve wanted to eat of the tree. Why did she want to eat of the tree that the devil said you can eat of? And God said, don't eat it. The scripture says in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Genesis, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, I read this 2 weeks ago, but I'll read it again. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Revelation. Understanding. Sounds good to me. Sound good to you? Does it? Say yes. We make Eve to be too bad of a woman. They're just like you and me. And they chose another way, and so often we choose another way. We go back from one tree to another tree. The tree of works versus the tree of God's forgiveness and love and unmerited favor. Because we feel guilty for our sins. And so we're running back from one tree to another tree. Notice, she was fooled, just like we're fooled at times. It says, for God knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, you'll get revelation, and you will be like God. Everybody say, godly. Everybody wants to be godly. Knowing good and evil. Oh, to know good, that's awesome. But she forgot about that last word. Evil, evil, evil. Look, anytime you're going to do it by yourself, you're opening yourself up to failure. You don't need to think that you can do anything without God's help. Because in and of ourselves, since the fall of man, there is evil inside of us, even when we don't want to do evil. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Paul said, he's talking to Christians. He's saying, that I want to do, I can't do. In and of myself, my willpower is not enough to get it done. How many of you don't want to look at pornography? Let me see your hands. Don't raise your hands. How many of you do at times want to look at pornography? And you need God's power, because that's your old nature fighting against your new nature. Somebody say amen. I know some of you don't have that, but it's an understood problem in our society. And many people do have that issue. And the truth is that if you're going to depend only upon your will and your power, you're going to fail 9 times out of 10. Or if not more. Okay? You know, that's like that guy, he says, how do you deal with temptation? He says, oh, I fix it. I yield immediately. 10 out of 10. How many know that's not the answer? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, all good things, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. 2 trees. Which one are you going to focus on? One is good and evil. That means works. I'll do it on my own. I am evil and I can't get it done, but I'm fighting this battle alone. And I want to please God, but there's something in me, Paul says, that wars within my members. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? Anybody ever been to a place where you wanted to serve God so with all your heart and all your soul and your mind, but your flesh keeps rising up? Are you listening to me? It's time to get in the tree of life. I said, it's time to get in God's help. It's time to receive God's favor and expect that He wants to help you. So what's the problem, Terry? You and I won't go to God because we feel guilty because we keep making mistakes. And if we do go to God, we beg Him and we plead and we don't expect. And then we think, well, you know what? I got to serve God for about 8 weeks and get it all perfect in order for Him to help me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Guilt. Condemnation, a sense of God's mad at me. Well, you preached that 2 weeks ago. I won't keep preaching it until we get it. God's not mad at you. God's not mad at me. I may look like I'm mad at you, but I'm not. One guy, when I was in Oak Park, he says, told his wife, he says, you know what? He says, that pastor, he says, somebody been telling him what I've been doing. And plus he's yelling at me. I don't like him. And I said, God, hurry up and get him saved because he was a karate expert and he might whip my butt. I don't know what that has to do with my sermon, but I thought of it, so I share that with you. I bless you with that, as Damon said. 2 trees. Which one are you going to live in? One focuses on the rules. One focuses on human willpower. One focuses on intolerance, and one focuses on works and the ability to have to get it done on your own. The other one focuses on what Jesus has done. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? One focuses on getting God's approval. One focuses on receiving God's love. Romans 5:8. Listen to this. Why am I doing this? I'm going to say it again. Because I think you need to have a different mindset. Why do we keep going back to that tree? Because the devil's good at making you feel guilty. The devil's good at making you feel like nobody can live this. Nobody can by themselves. I want to talk about the motivation and the ability to go and live in the tree of life. Because when you get in the tree of life, fear will no longer have sway over you. When you get into the tree of life, anger will no longer have dominion over you. Because you're not going to fail and get angry and then say, oh, well, I've blown it all. Anybody understand that? So I'm just going to go for it. Are you listening? Or when you make mistakes, you think, God's tired of it. Well, you're tired of it. The difference is God's not tired of your sin. God's not getting weary. And He's certainly not weary of loving you. You get tired and you get weary, and so you transplant it over onto God. Look at me. God knew you were going to be like this when you fell in the garden, and He still gave His son. I'm going to try that over here. God, are you getting this? Okay, well, act like it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is all introduction, so you just have to bear with me. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you. We love God because He first loves us. You don't get your act together to get to God. You get to God to get your act together. To get God's approval implies that it's a work-centered gospel. It implies that God can be made mad if you make a mistake. It implies that He's hard to please. And yet Romans 5, 8, 9 just told us that He loves us while we're still sinning. It's quiet in here. Why is this so quiet? He loved us while we were sinning enough to die for us. He's always loved you, and he will continue to love you. Not the sin that you do, but he always loves you, and he wants to help you. He wants your fellowship. In fact, he wants to help you through this bondage and through this sin. I don't have to be afraid of God, my Father, anymore. If you're afraid of God, you are by definition a slave. I'm tired of being a slave to sin. I'm tired of being afraid of God. The Bible says to fear God. The Bible says to reverentially trust God. It has nothing to do with he's going to kill me because I did it again. You say, you're giving us a license to sin. No way am I giving you a license to sin. I'm going to tell you and prove that to you. You keep sinning, you're going to screw yourself up. God can love you all the world, but you know what? He wants to help you, but if you won't receive it, for whatever reason, you're fooled, you're stubborn, whatever it is, you're going to get the reward of sin. Sin always has a reward. How many of you would like to be free from its clutches and its rewards? The Lord says, you've done it on your own enough. You need my help, but the devil's blinding you and making you think that you're all on your own and that I will want to help you or I couldn't help you if I wanted to. How stupid that God can't help you? He made you. He's been following you. He watches you 24 hours a day. Nothing that you do escapes his gaze. And he still has a promise and a plan for you. You're the apple of his eye, and he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forget you. He's never going to forsake you, and he's never going to give up on you. If you believe it, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm just jumping up and down right side. You know why? Because I just saw somebody that had given up on themselves, and God takes them and makes them exactly what he intended them to be, and it's miraculous. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, I'm talking about that kid that just has never served God, promised he won't ever serve God, that marriage that never will get back together. I've got good news for you. I see it happening in the kingdom. Oh. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave. One focuses on duty. One focuses on internal desire. In fact, this is the love for God, to keep his commands. And his commandments are not burdensome. I have found them to be so. Very burdensome. Huh? The rest of you are holy angels and you've never had a temptation. I found his commands to be quite burdensome to keep when I'm in my flesh, when I'm depending on me, when I'm full of guilt and won't go to God. When I feel like I haven't got enough faith. I haven't prayed enough. Haven't been to church enough. I know pastors mad at me. God's got to be. I've never felt that way. There's times when I wanted to, slap about half of you. But I never do because there's more of you than me, and I'm sure you wanted to slap me a few times. I wouldn't have a face left. I withhold myself. And I've also learned, why would I want to hurt the people who love me most? When you're right and you're in God, you take good care of me. And if you don't, my Father does. Hallelujah. He loves you. He's willing to wait on you to know that his commands are not burdensome. That's really on. How do they become not burdensome? How do I live in the tree of life? How do I get rid of the baggage of failure and works and earning it and not living free, etc., etc.? As I said, you got to know God as Father. The second thing is you got to fall in love with Jesus. For he is, for who he is, and for what he has done. Notice that it's a who, not a what. Are you listening? John 14, 15. If you really love me, you will keep my commands. I always took that. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, it proves you don't love me. Anybody else? Let's read the Passion Translation. Here's what it really means. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. You know why you'll love him? I already read it. Because he loves you first. Because he never quits loving you. He loves you so much that he should have convinced you and wants to convince you that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at, or what you've done or not done. I love you forever. And that makes me want to serve him. And I want to hurry because I want to get to some other things here. So I fall in love with Jesus, okay? Number two, I don't allow condemnation to destroy me. I already read the scripture in Romans 7 when Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this bondage? That I would do, I don't do. That I want to do, I don't do, can't do. And that I don't want to do, I'll be if I don't keep on doing it." That is the wretchedness that he talks about. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now Romans 8:1. I thank God. There is now, therefore, this is the NLT. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The Passion Translation. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death and having to be perfect. God's all about perfect. God's all about sinlessness. God's all about you being free from sin. But because you're infected with a disease does not mean that he's going to tell you you're dead. He's never going to abandon you. Somebody say amen. You must remind yourself daily, say daily, of the benefits of no condemnation. God doesn't judge you. Here they are. God doesn't judge you for all the things you've done wrong if you have placed your trust in Christ, because Jesus took the judgment for everything you ever did or will do. The sins for all the unsaved people in the world have already been forgiven. They just need to partake of them. You still with me? Say yes. Jesus took the judgment for all you did on the cross. So the Father doesn't have to judge you because Jesus was judged for you. He doesn't have to condemn you because Jesus took your condemnation. He took your rap. He took your rap. He paid your fine. You're still going to sin from time to time, make mistakes, and fail from time to time, but you are not condemned. I am not condemned. I feel condemned, but it's not from him. It's the devil who accuses me. It's my sinful nature that rises up and says, "See? Do you know your nature will lie to you? Lies to you every morning. Tells you thoughts about yourself that are hopeless, full of shame. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're ugly. You're fat." I told myself that this morning. And I said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You're going to die. You're going to be sick. You're going to do that." I said, "No, I'm going to live as long as God allows me to live, and I'm going to live a long time, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Every demon that comes to me and tells me you're going to die and you're not going to be worth anything, I tell them you're a liar. You get back to hell where you belong, and this is my inheritance. I don't have to earn it. God gave it to me, and my righteousness is from Jesus." That is Isaiah 54:17, and it's got my name on it. It's got your name on it. You need to claim what Jesus died to give you. Anybody want to claim victory today? Anybody want to claim hope today? Anybody want to claim future destiny today? Anybody want to claim God's best today? Jesus already gave it to you. And he paid. Give the Lord a victory clap this morning. Jesus, we praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Plus, I now have the power in me other than willpower. I have the Spirit of God in me. It is the power of the Spirit of Christ living in me. The Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. It means this in Romans. It is the Holy Spirit coming in me to empower me to live like Jesus. I'm gonna add to that. It is, not add to it, but further explain it. It is Christ want to in me when my natural self doesn't want to. Let me go a step further. It is Christ in me showing me the benefits of living for him and rejecting my flesh. I can't reject it on my own, but when I call upon him, everybody say, in faith. Are you listening? My flesh wants to go look at that porno spot, but my spirit wants to serve Jesus. And if I'll get my focus off the porno and on Jesus long enough, say, Father, help me. I've already tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and I don't want to go back there. I know how it leaves me when I'm done. Father, have mercy on me. Help me. Get ready. The power of heaven's ready to touch you and make you clean. You believe that? Say amen. We are not powerless. There's a new sheriff in town, and he's the Holy Spirit. There's authority in you. And he will make you want to serve him. He don't make you. He convinces you that, look, here's what I got. Here's what the enemy has. He'll open your eyes. See, he wanted your eyes open. You need to have your eyes open that serving God tastes better than serving sin. It tastes good for a moment, and then it's like eating that luscious donut. It's hot. Are you listening? Take all the analogies you want. She looks hot. It looks inviting. My flesh wants it. And as long as I'm staring at it, it's not for long in this world. Because it's going to cease to be a donut, and it's going to be mush in my mouth. And then it's going to go down in my tummy. And I'm not going to tell you where it goes after that. But when I eat 12 of them, they don't taste nearly as good in my tummy. Are you listening? And it ends up in some other place where it belongs. I need to turn my focus off of that donut and change it. And move towards Jesus. And he'll give me a donut that'll never cause me to be fat. Are you listening to me? And I can eat one or I can eat 21. And I'm not full and I'm not sick. Because he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he says this. He says, I will give you so much food and so much joy that it will be boundless and it will never run dry. I'll change that donut for that makes this donut, makes that donut look like broccoli. Broccoli stinks. All broccoli's good for is going to the bathroom. Makes you go to the bathroom. That's what my mama told me. I said, I don't want to go to the bathroom. I want to eat French fries. Hello? And you're saying you're being silly. No, I'm not. It's just that sweet. He wants you to prefer him and to reject the devil on your own because you've tasted and seen that the Lord tastes better. Hallelujah. You still with me? Say amen. Well, prove it. Okay, I will. Oh, I got 2 minutes. That ought to be plenty of time. All that is about changing your mindset. Changing your mindset. Exchanging your thoughts for the thoughts of the Holy Spirit every morning. Every morning. Exodus 33, verses 18 through 23. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and you will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Come to the keys, please, Sal. Hallelujah. Come quickly, too, because I'm not going to be able to preach this. It's time to quit. But I want you to understand something. I'll introduce it to you this way. Show me your glory, Moses said. He says, my glory, I will show you. I don't have time to go into it, but God told Moses, I'll send you with my blessings. He says, but I'm not going with you. I'll favor you, but I'm not going with you. He says, if you're not going, I don't want to go. You know why? Because he realized that it's more important to have his person than to just have his benefits. That is why God showed him the fullness of his goodness. When you just get satisfied to get enough to get you right, you miss the point. You need to fall in love with the Father, with Papa. You need to fall in love with the Lord Jesus, my Savior. Because, and when we come into this place and we start worshiping, we get all joyful, and it's good because his presence is here. But we need to take it a step further. When the presence of the Lord is here during worship, we call it his presence, but it's become a vague term because we need to go a step further. And we need to realize when his spirit moves in here, he brings Jesus. When you're home and you're by yourself, and you begin to praise him and worship him, enter into his presence, you also have access to his person. How would you react as we begin to worship the Lord? Lift your hands. When we lifted our hands, and I looked over here at Adam, how appropriate the Adam, the first man, the flesh man. When the flesh man raises his hands, when Adam raises his hands, the second Adam comes in. The first Adam failed. The first Adam lived out death. But when the second Adam came, when the first Adam lifted his heart and his hands towards Jesus, Jesus to him through the womb of a woman, dying on a cross, and he rose so that he could come to you and to me in the person as we worship him. And as we, when we raised our hands, I promise you, I sense the presence of the person of Jesus manifested this way. And when we worship him, we need to know, Marcus, that he's here. And if I had time to preach it, I'd let you know that he's passing by and he's shielding you from all of his glory to kill us all, because he's that pure and holy and we still live in mortal bodies. But oh, as he shields us, he shows us his goodness. And his goodness is his healing. His goodness is his forgiveness. His goodness is his love. His goodness is his provision. His goodness is all the things that taste good in life, that makes you want to run to him instead of run from him. Hallelujah. Put the scripture in Galatians up, please. In Romans 2:4, quickly. Because this scripture is what I wanted to talk about this morning. As we're lift, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Now look at the board as you keep your hands up. Oh, do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, and long-suffering? Do you have the Passion Version? Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. It's not a license to sin. But don't you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to melt your heart, make you want him, and lead you to change your ways? You see, his glory, his presence, his person will cause you to want him to the place to where that you don't want sin. You move to repentance. So you don't have to do it by yourself. Here's where your power comes from, in his presence. How many of you know his word is in his presence? His presence is in his word. How many of you know that when you praise him, he manifests with his person? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. His presence is available every day. Father, I claim freedom from the laws of sin and death, from fear. I claim freedom from fear. I claim freedom from sickness and disease. I claim freedom from doubt and hopelessness. My family shall rise again. I claim freedom from self-doubt. I claim freedom from guilt and weariness and anything the enemy would bring against me as I move and mature in him. I thank you that my now is better than my yesterday. And my future is part of my now. And you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jerome, Ryan, Michael, Debbie, and Terry, and Les, and Francis, and Daryl, and Trisha, and on, because he loves you. He loves you just like you are, and he'll let you become what he saw you to be. Oh, hallelujah. Say this with me. Father, Papa, Daddy, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you now. Wash me white as snow. I receive you into my heart. I want to be born again. I want your spirit in my heart, your nature, your power in my life. I'll move towards you. I'll taste and see until I know you're better than anything the devil has to offer. You'll teach me. You'll be patient with me. I receive you now. I come back to you now. I move towards you now with no guilt, no condemnation. Everything's forgotten. I just need more of you. No matter how many times you fail, his grace is sufficient. Until Brother Jesse, I don't want to fail. There's hope for your son. There's hope for you. There's hope for your daughter. When my little Braylon comes to me and he says, Papa, I'm mad. Old nature, that little old nature in him. Look at me. He goes, I'm mad at Alia and Ava. Why? What did they do? They took my toy. I said, I bought you two apiece. Yeah, but I want that one. And they won't give it to me. Slap him across McDonald's. I beat him and I kick him. I tell him he's worthless. That's what the devil does to you and me. But he says it's the Father who feels that way. I don't do that to him, do I? I'm doing this for a purpose. I was ready to quit. The Lord brought this to my heart. I don't do that. I said, baby boy. I said, you got plenty. Why don't you tell him you're sorry? I don't want to. No. Tolerance, patience, long-suffering. If I know how to be that way with my brain. Now, when he's 33, I hope he's not so homeless. Huh? And some of us, we're 33 and go, I hope he's learned some things. Because I've treated him well, and the love that I encourage him to do works. Now kids want to play with him. They invite him over. Are you listening? He goes over to Deb and Dan's house, and sometimes she's precious. Sometimes she's a little tyrant. But to him, she's grandma. Grandma, grandma, grandma. How come you have Baylor over here? I don't want Baylor to be here no more. Baylor's her real granddaughter. And Baylor probably goes and says, I don't want him here either. They don't like each other. They may end up married. Who knows? That'd be okay with me. I'm so glad Debbie didn't reject him. I'm so glad that you know that I would never slap him away. Because I've got a vision when he's 33, he's going to be serving Jesus. And he's going to be full of the love of Christ. Simple illustration, but I hope you can apply it to your life. Because Papa feels the same way. Same way this Papa feels about Braylon. And Dan feels about Briella and Braylon. You feel about your kids. But Steve feels about all his kids. And there's a few of them. That's what my father feels about. Okay. And everybody said amen. Did you get anything?
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.